Welcome to the 267th episode of What's in the Box Office, your weekly look at movies and the money they make. Each week we sit down and pour over the weekend's box office returns and tell you what we think they mean for the industry at large. I'm your host, Brian.
And I'm your host, Noah.
Wanted to see if it would freak you out if I just started with the intro.
Well, it did a little bit, but the intro has enough, there's enough time to breathe. By the time it got to my part, I had recovered.
Okay, good. Let's just get right into it. We got stuff to do today, and other stuff that isn't the podcast to do today. So let's go.
All right.
Our feature presentation, our tournament, Multiplex Madness Second Run. Noah, brief rundown of what the hell this is and where we are at this point.
We are giving a second chance to every movie that was considered for a previous tournament but was not drafted, because there's great movies and great stories out there that deserve a little bit more shine. So we have concocted Multiplex Madness Second Run to crown the what I've been calling the most overlooked, most underrated Multiplex Madness contender in What's in the Box Office history.
That's right. We started with 32. We're down to 16. This week and next week, we're going to do the round of 16, or Sweet 16 Candles, as we call it here.
Absolutely do.
On the show. And so the two we're doing this time are the not drafted films of the Multiplex Madness tournament, which was our first tournament, the search for the greatest blockbuster of the 2010s, which eventually went to Get Out. And the other one we're doing, the 90s?
We were doing Multiplex Madness Forever, which, yes, we'll be looking back at the 90s, which
That's
went
right.
to Titanic.
Yeah. All right.
I wanted to say Crouching Tiger because it came out in the year 2000, and I can't always remember what year it came out. Which decade?
But first, Multiplex Madness. So our remaining contenders are the 1 seed Gravity is going to take on the 4 seed A Star Is Born, and the 6 seed A Quiet Place will take on the 7 seed Dunkirk.
Two big upsets in round one.
Yep, we have 5 categories. First 3 wins. We have quality of movie, bigger profit relative to budget, a harder road to success, impact upon release, and the film's legacy. The same categories that these films had when the same categories those tournaments had that these films were not chosen.
Yes,
before,
indeed.
Essentially. Gravity, the 1 seed, was released on October 4th, 2013. Opening weekend, $55 million. Final gross, $274 million. Domestic, and A Star Is Born was released October 5th, 2018. Opening weekend was $51 million over the 4 day. I believe it was Indigenous Peoples Day. Final gross was $215 million domestic. Our first category, bigger profit relative to budget. Gravity had a budget of $110 million. It grossed $723 million worldwide, a profit of $657 million. And A Star Is Born had a budget of $36 million. It grossed $436 million. That's a profit of 1,211%. Point one goes to Star Is Born. I feel like I never pointed this out before, but I really feel inclined to do it every time. This time is that the profit thing is not what that movie actually made. That's not how profit works.
Right. Yeah. No.
We just have a little equation.
Yeah. Yeah. You've pointed that out.
I know, but this could be a first time listener who's like, I want to hear what they think about how Monkey Man did.
Sure.
And then we'll see to it for the first time. Anywho.
Welcome in.
Yeah, hey, congratulations. You made a great choice. Quality of movie, Noah, Gravity or Star Is Born?
This is actually a really interesting question
for me. I was going to say, for you, yeah.
To me, these are both movies that have very high highs and also parts of them that drag. Real mixed bag situations.
And you're not talking about the drag queens in A Star Is Born?
No, I'm not. Although...
there were drag queens in that, right? She worked at a drag bar.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure. Yeah, and the when she did the La Vie en Rose. Excuse me, sorry, those were just French people.
Wow.
So I think I go with the movie that ultimately has the highest highs here. And if you were to ask me right now, which one of these do I want to rewatch, I'm
picking
Gravity.
Okay, great. I'm also picking Gravity. I think it's a way better movie. The Star is Born has a pretty perfect first half and a very, very messy second half. And there you go.
Did you think I was going to go Star is
Born? I did, yeah, the way you were setting that up.
I mean, I really, really enjoy the first half or two-thirds of Star is Born.
Yeah.
And then it stops.
It's a movie I'd like to revisit. I'm going to put it on my revisit list.
Sure.
With Widows, Draft Day, and The Matrix Resurrections.
Can I revisit Draft Day with you?
Do you want to?
Sure.
Why not? A Star is Born.
You got to pick that guy no matter what.
I don't know what that means. I'm sure it's a quote from the movie.
Yeah.
Great. Harder Road to Success. Well, was it tougher for Gravity to get it to 274 domestic or A Star is Born to get to 215 domestic?
Interesting cases both here. Star is Born is a tried and true, successful movie formula. Like literally they've made A Star is Born, what, four times now?
Yeah, it might be like five. Yeah, five. A lot.
And it's just, it's always big. Had Lady Gaga, who will not like necessarily a proven box office draw, is a huge superstar.
I want A Star is Born every year. Make it every year with different people.
You don't think that would get old? And nope. All right. I mean, that would, as long as it's got completely different people every time.
Completely different people.
No one who has worked
you
on a previous
set it in
Star
a different place also.
Oh, yeah, yeah, you
and
must.
They don't, different occupations.
Are we getting a little too far away?
Well, don't the original Star is Born, she wants to be an actress, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, all right, yeah, I guess that's true. All right, so different occupations that are still star-based.
Entertainment-based, yeah, sure. A novel.
yeah, you could, well, they want to be the next, who wrote Sharp Objects and...
Gillian Flynn.
Yeah, they want to be the next Gillian Flynn.
Yeah.
I
really feel like A Star is Born had it easier just because the gross is higher and that trailer and the Gaga, it all seemed to be a perfect storm for that movie.
Sure.
Whereas, again, I think Gravity is like a big sci-fi movie, but it's not a traditional sci-fi. Also, sci-fi is never guaranteed to be a blockbuster.
No, and especially it's an original sci-fi movie.
It's an original sci-fi movie. There's no action in it. There's no, like, you know, chases or aliens. It's just like it's about a person. And it scaled to such heights in the same month. These came out a day apart, actually. That's interesting. Five years apart, but October 4th, October 5th. Also, if we look at they opened to almost the same amount. Gravity, 55 million over the 3-day. Star is Born, 51 million over the 4-day. And yet, Gravity grossed much more 5 years earlier when tickets were lower. It did have the premium tickets to help it. But I just think that, like, if you showed me both trailers and went, Gravity, got 2 2¾.
Yeah.
And then A Star is Born gets 250. And I go, oh, yeah, Star is Born makes sense.
How much does it factor in that Star is Born was released on the same weekend as Venom?
Venom.
Which, while obviously not like reaching for the same audience.
No.
Both movies were such huge hits that eventually you're drawing from the same pool of people anyway.
Yeah, I mean, they're both four quadrant. I mean, Star is Born's rated R, but... there would be some crossover, certainly.
But overall, not a huge contributing factor for you.
Honestly, Venom could have gone the way of Morbius in a second.
It could have, yeah.
On paper, you're looking at it, you're going like, oh, yeah, that's fine. These two movies come out. I mean, I don't think you're considering this. Maybe you should. Gravity opening against Runner.
I wasn't considering
Name one person who was in Runner. It's a two-hander.
Okay. Justin Timberlake.
That's correct. You know the other one?
Ethan Hawke.
No.
Damn.
Who's that?
That is Ben Affleck.
That's right.
Yeah. Okay. I could have gotten that.
Yeah. Ben Schwartz also in that, I believe. All right.
Good for him.
So I'm going with Star is Born here for easier road.
Oh, I thought...
Harder Road to Success. I'll go with Gravity.
Okay. I think that I agree. I think the original original sci-fi of it all is is a pretty impressive feat.
Impact upon release. Gravity had the biggest October opening. It was the number one October released film in history at the time. 10 Oscar nominations, picture, actress for Sandy Bullock. It won 7, including Best Director for Alfonso Cuarón. And then A Star is Born had 8 Oscar nominations, including picture, actor for Bradley Cooper, actress for Lady Gaga, and supporting actor for Sam Elliott. And it won 1 Oscar for original song. This is where the Venom thing might be tricky.
Okay.
Because the impact upon release probably would have been more impactful if Venom also wasn't a huge deal at the same time. Whereas Gravity just kind of ran October. You know, 2013 was, there's a Paranormal Activity, I'm sure, that year. But Gravity was like the big movie, whereas A Star is Born was one of 2 big movies.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
It does. Though, size-wise, as you mentioned earlier, it's still pretty similar. And I don't know, Star is Born has the song. Star is Born,
the song is huge.
Gave us Bradley Cooper as a serious film guy.
Our maestro.
And like I still haven't really reckoned with why that happened.
Yeah.
That's like, if suddenly next year Kumail Nanjiani decided that like I'm going to be an auteur director, I'm going to be in contention for my generation's Leonardo DiCaprio. Be like, what are you talking about? You're just a guy who's in funny stuff, and I like to see sometimes.
Well, Cooper was a leading man, though. I mean, come on.
I mean, he was the guy.
The Hangover films. He loved American Fiction. American Sniper was an enormous hit with Coops.
Yeah, I guess that had already.
He's nominated
happened.
For like 6 sure. Oscars already at this point.
American Sniper is part of the turn that I don't that I don't get. I don't know. This is I feel like these movies are very evenly matched in my mind.
I mean,
I remember the huge sensation of Gravity, but
the 3D too was so such a huge thing for it.
Yeah, I think it is Gravity.
I think
by
so
a hair
too.
For me.
I think it is for a hair for me as well. Where does that put us?
That would give Gravity the victory.
Because I was gonna say, I think Legacy would go to A Star Is Born.
I agree.
For the song. Yeah. All right, Gravity moves on. Next, the 6th seed, A Quiet Place, takes on the 7th seed, Dunkirk. A Quiet Place was released April 6, 2018. Opening weekend, $50 million. Final gross, $188. Dunkirk was released July 21st, 2017. Opening weekend, $50 million. Final gross, $188.
Weird.
That's weird and makes me want to look it up, but I won't. Bigger profit rolled into budget. A Quiet Place cost $17 million. It grossed $341 worldwide. Profit of 2,006%. And Dunkirk cost $100 million. It grossed $526. Well, that's easy math. 526%. Point one goes to A Quiet Place. Quality of film, Noah.
Quiet Place is a great movie that I've seen several times and
it's
really
in
enjoyed.
My top. It's not in my top five. It was in my top five of film. I think it was my number 5 film of 2018.
And this is not even really that close.
No, not at all. Dunkirk
is tremendously good.
Was my second favorite movie that year, and I thought Nolan should have gotten the Oscar for it. So there you go. We're split. Harder road to success, I would say A Quiet Place for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah, it's got like
yeah.
Dunkirk, I think we talked about
Dunkirk
this.
Dunkirk has stuff against it.
It's yeah.
There's no stars in it. It's an unconventional war film, and war films aren't big anymore. And it's not even like a famous like thing. I didn't know about Dunkirk.
Yeah, and it's like
Rescue.
As far as like Chris Nolan's big movies are about Batman or about
right.
dream travel.
This was
or
coming
about
off
space
his,
travel, and
this was coming off Interstellar 3 years earlier, which this, was a lower grossing one,
right? Yeah. And this is about Barry Keoghan on a boat.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I forget he's in it a lot of the time.
That's easy to do. There's a lot of people in it. So yeah, as on like the relative like Chris Nolan scale, Dunkirk had a hard road to success.
Yeah.
However, it did have Chris Nolan.
Yeah. And a prime summer slot. Yeah. And I mean, so many things. A Quiet Place had Emily Blunt, John Krasinski, and like, it's an original horror film.
Yeah. And in April.
Made a lot of money.
Yeah. It's definitely Quiet Place.
All right. 2-1 Quiet Place. Impact upon release. Quiet Place had 1 Oscar nomination. Dunkirk, meanwhile, had 8, including picture, director, and won 3 Oscars. This is tough, though. It could be A Quiet Place. There was a big deal. It might be because we just started the podcast.
Yes.
When A Quiet Place was running around.
Yeah, that was and also because like a $50 million opening weekend in April feels like a lot bigger deal than a $50 million opening weekend in July.
Sure.
Even though they are...
And it was buzzy because of how hard it was to be successful. It made it a surprise hit. You know what I mean?
Right. I think my inclination here is towards Dunkirk's award success. I think it, and like this is one of those things that kind of bleeds into legacy a little bit, but like, I feel like Dunkirk was really the movie that turned Chris Nolan from, like summer action Batman director who everyone's like, you should get an Oscar. And the Academy's like, no, you'll never get one.
Right.
Into the guy like, okay, yeah, we are now comfortable with Chris Nolan being a serious Oscar threat and then directing Oppenheimer in 7 years. 6 years. I got there.
6 years. I'm going with A Quiet Place.
I'm going with Dunkirk. So I agree that it is close here. All right, so
legacy.
You've got Quiet Place winning, by the way.
No, I know, but you're going to legacy, right?
Yeah, and I'm...
Here's what I will say for legacy, and then you can decide, okay? I'm going to make it quick. Dunkirk is going to be in the top 5 most important Christopher Nolan movies if he stopped right now.
Sure.
Right? Dark Knight, Oppenheimer, Memento, and then Batman Begins, or Inception, or this, to fill out the rest.
Yeah.
Quiet Place, when all said and done, spawned a franchise, and Emily Blunt got a SAG nom for it, or for the first one, and I think will be a huge watershed mark on her career and Krasinski's when all said and done. So my personal vote would go Quiet Place and Legacy.
Okay. Yeah.
Just because I think that the pedigree of Nolan is so big that one great movie isn't going to stand out among a litany of great, big movies.
Sure, but is being the 5th most important Christopher Nolan movie a bigger achievement than being the most important John Krasinski movie?
And Emily Blunt movie.
Yes, no. Emily Blunt is certainly the more,
I don't know.
The more important of the two. But
go ahead. What are you thinking?
So when you were describing Dunkirk as like in contention for like Chris Nolan's 5th most important movie, were you looking at that as like, wow, it's in the top 5, or like as like,
no,
it's struggling to crack the top 5.
How many movies has he done? He's done
like
following Memento, Insomnia, Batman, The Prestige, Batman, Inception, Batman, Interstellar, Dunkirk, 10, Tenet, Oppenheimer, 12.
Oh, that was close.
What'd you say?
11.
Okay. And I think that realistically, if you talk about the most important movies of his career, it's Dark Knight.
Yes.
Oppenheimer.
Yes.
I would say Memento. Then I'm going to go with Batman Begins. Then I'm going to go with Inception. And then I'm going to go with Dunkirk.
Okay.
So 6 to 12. So it's right in the middle. As like a, if he keeps making movies at the rate he is and at the success he is, it's going to get pushed further down that list. It could, is my point.
It could, sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I still think like being in that top half is is a pretty pretty significant
sure
achievement for Dunkirk and its legacy.
Sounds like you're going Dunkirk.
Yeah, I am leaning Dunkirk. I think Emily Blunt, I think A Quiet Place is a big part of her legacy, but I think there's a lot of other contenders.
Yeah.
On her filmography, it's not like this one set her up as a star.
Sure.
So I think it is, without specifically going down the list, I feel like it is probably in a similar position in her legacy as Dunkirk is to Chris Nolan's.
Okay.
And I think Chris Nolan is a bigger deal.
All right.
So yeah, I go Dunkirk there, and
in 2 weeks, what won the last one we just?
Well, done? We haven't resolved what won this one.
Oh, okay.
Because this is a in a way it's a tie, because you have Quiet Place winning and I have Dunkirk winning.
Okay.
In another way, you have Quiet Place winning 4-1, and I have Dunkirk winning 3-2. And we haven't, that doesn't happen very often. And we haven't,
No, I think we have it at a tie. I don't think we should do it that way.
Okay.
We have it at a
don't
tie.
Don't worry about that. Okay.
What's our tiebreaker?
Got it. So,
well, won the category most handedly.
Yes.
Let's
see. We don't count money, quality
of movies,
big win for Dunkirk.
It's a contender.
A
Harder Road to Success.
Harder Road to Success.
Pretty big for A Quiet Place.
Yeah. Okay. So those are,
I think those are the top two.
Those are the top two, I think, for sure. I think also we split on everything else. And did we? We both went. Yeah, I went Harder Road to Success for Quiet Place as well. Okay. I just wanted to make sure we didn't split on one of those also. This has got to be Harder Road to Success, as like Quiet Place had a harder road to success, had a bigger win in Harder Road to Success than Dunkirk and Quality, I think.
Yeah, I think you're probably right.
Because like Quiet Place is still really good,
yeah,
really fun, really exciting.
No, you're
and well crafted.
You're correct.
Dunkirk was going to be a success, just maybe not that big of one.
All right, so the one seed Gravity will take on the 6 seed A Quiet Place in 2 weeks to become the winner of the Multiplex Madness second run tournament for Multiplex Madness.
That's very exciting, and that's a good matchup.
Moving on to Multiplex Madness Forever, the 90s, we had the 1 seed Apollo 13 is going to take on the 5 seed A Few Good Men, and the 6 seed Unforgiven takes on the 2 seed The Santa Claus. Apollo 13 was released June 30th, 1995. Opening weekend, $25 million. Its final gross domestic was $173. A Few Good Men was released December 11th, 1992. Opening weekend, $15 million. Final gross domestically, $141. Apollo 13 cost $52 million to make. It grossed $355 worldwide, profit of $682. And A Few Good Men cost $40 million to make. It grossed $243, profit of $608. 0.1 goes to Apollo 13.
It does. It was
quality
close
of movie. We're going to be split on that.
So no, this is
past
yeah
that there.
Okay, I was going to ask. I was curious how you were going to go on that one.
No, I go Apollo 13.
All right. Doesn't even sound like it's particularly close.
I would need to see Apollo 13 again.
Okay.
To actually determine that, but I do know I like Apollo 13 more right now.
Okay.
But it could be close. I know where my mind goes there.
All right. Yeah, I think that's a valid way to go. That's kind of my criteria for these. You just put one in front of me and tell me which one of these do you want to watch right now. I go A Few Good Men, though, just for the record, for that new listener that does not know me.
He loves A Few Good Men.
I do.
Harder Road to Success. I go A Few Good Men here. For sure. Paul 13 is a big summer blockbuster. Tom Hanks, a year after his second Oscar win. Ron Howard, big space action movie, I go for sure. A Few Good Men from Hard Road.
So Cruise isn't quite the
Cruise,
the main event drawing power that he.
I mean, it's just it's not
will
an action
become in
movie.
A few years. Yeah.
In the 90s, I take the star-led action movie or the star-led drama to make 150.
Okay, yeah, I feel like that that sounds right. Plus, like Sorkin,
Tom Hanks
wasn't
is the biggest
yet.
Star of that decade.
If you're just out of curiosity
sure.
here, if you go beyond that decade and are just presented with the question, who is the bigger star over the course of their career, Tom Hanks or Tom Cruise? What say you?
I don't know. Maybe Tom Cruise, but in this decade, which is where we're at, like the harder road to success,
right?
Is it who's at the peak of their power? Tom Hanks in 95 or Tom Cruise in 92? Hanks 95.
Right. Yeah. I think that's right. I was just asking.
Year after like Forrest Gump.
A separate question, but yeah, I think A Few Good Men does have a slightly harder road to success. I will vote there as well.
The only thing keeping Tom in the running for the other question yet is the rings. Cruise wins an Oscar, we can talk.
Okay.
Then it's a landslide about the biggest star of all time.
Okay. Fair enough.
But Hanks has got two. All right. What are you going with for Harder Road?
I'm going A Few Good Men. I agree.
Okay. Impact upon release. Apollo 13 was the number two film in 95. 9 Oscar nominations. Best Picture, supporting actor for Ed Harris, supporting actress for the woman whose name I will at some point remember, and 2 Oscars. And then A Few Good Men was nominated for 4 Oscars, including Best Picture and Jack Nicholson in supporting actor. I go with Apollo 13 here. Big movie of the summer. Probably the biggest movie of the summer.
Yeah, the big movie of the summer, and also having the extra awards contention, whereas like A Few Good Men was the kind of Oscar player where it's like, oh yeah, that's like that's fun that movie got some nominations. Ooh, a couple of big ones, that's nice.
Yeah.
But Apollo 13 was a much more like front runner status
yep.
kind of thing. So yeah, I think that is
where do we have
that
him
is
here?
Pretty solidly Apollo 13. So you now have Apollo 13 winning,
okay.
and I've got it tied.
All right, so impact, legacy, we get down to the catchphrases.
Yes.
Houston, we have a problem, and you can't handle the truth. Go ahead.
Yeah, I feel like you can't handle the truth is the bigger movie quote. I think if you're just looking at list of movie quotes, you're talking with people on the street. That to me has a greater reputation as like one of the great movie quotes. Whereas I feel like Houston, we have a problem has kind of left Apollo 13 behind to just become a thing people say.
You know, let's ask someone on the street. We've never done this before. It's not a call-in show. I think people can hear that.
I think it's a good shot.
Yeah, hi. You're on our podcast right now. Let me ask you a quick question, okay? What is the bigger quote, more famous quote from a movie? Houston, we have a problem, or you can't handle the truth?
I'll think about that tomorrow.
No, what?
Gone with the Wind.
Nope.
Is the biggest quote.
Okay, no.
So
I
would say
what?
You can't handle the truth.
I'll think about that tomorrow.
Yeah, that's what Scarlett O'Hara says to Rhett Butler.
What? When, can you look that up?
It's from Gone with the Wind.
Well, Gone with the Wind is
frankly,
my dear, I don't give a damn.
Renee?
No, Brian.
Well, Brian, hold on a second. I was talking to Renee.
Well, this will take 2 seconds if you want to answer the question.
Somebody better help me out here.
You're talking to me. Answer the question, and then you can talk to Renee. Houston, hello? Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
She answered in my favor.
Did she?
Yeah.
I couldn't tell what the hell she was saying.
Brian and
yes.
Podcast.
Is it, Houston, we have a problem, or you can't handle the truth? Which one's the bigger movie quote?
Well, in reality, I think Houston, we have a problem. Is obviously is bigger because it was a true thing.
That's a good point.
You know, and because of that, it's historically accurate.
Okay.
The other one is just from a drama of a movie that right. was, you know, real hard hitting. Is there a vote on? Am I just a voter?
No, we're just asking. Consensus? We're asking an unbiased person. We're just asking a question.
Yeah. So I guess I'm going to switch and say. Houston, we have a problem.
Okay.
Because that's reality.
Sure. Thank you.
Okay,
goodbye.
Else?
No, that's
no.
it. Goodbye.
Call me back.
I'm going to call you back. What? I already talked to you today. All right. So.
No, she answered in my favor. She said until pressed, and then.
I didn't press her. I couldn't tell what the hell she was saying.
I know.
I'll talk to you tomorrow. Gone with the wind. What the hell's going on? What's the quote from Gone with the Wind? I do. It's like the last line of the movie, I'm pretty sure.
There is a quote from Gone with the Wind where Scarlett says, I can't think about that right now. If I do, I'll go crazy. I'll think about that tomorrow.
Okay, well, she thinks that's the quote from Gone with the Wind, she's out of her mind.
It's
frankly,
it is
my
not.
Dear, I don't give a damn.
Or is it, as God is my witness, I'll never be hungry again?
Sure.
Anyway. But yeah, it is not, I'll think about that tomorrow.
Legacy.
So, to what I was saying before we received our first ever caller, do you think, first of all, do you agree that Apollo 13, like, Houston, we have a problem, is, like, not really thought of as an Apollo 13 quote necessarily, so much as it is just a common figure of speech?
That's probably true.
And if that is true, is that actually in Apollo 13's favor anyway? Or does it make it count less for the movie's legacy, even if the thing it produced is a bigger deal?
If he actually... did anyone actually say, Houston, we have a problem? Okay, so Houston, we've had a problem here, is what he actually said.
Okay.
So it is a real quote. Could have been movie magic, who knows?
Yeah, I'm sure it was partially movie magic, but based in something.
I know, it's also not the quote. The quote isn't like the deciding factor here. That was just a fun way to spin.
I know. Yeah, but it's
the discussion.
Just, as we're talking about the quote, to my mind, and I obviously live in a biased world where...
That's why it's interesting that it comes down to you here.
To me, A Few Good Men is like a major significant movie.
Right.
I view it as a very big part of Tom Cruise's legacy.
It was the movie that I was going to pick for your bachelor weekend for the Music Box to show. But they asked for a time limit of under 2 hours.
Yeah, it's a little too long.
It is over two, so I could not.
It's one of my favorite movies of all time.
I could not pick it, but I was like, that's the one I'm going with.
Whereas, to my mind, I feel like Apollo 13, great movie.
Yeah.
Tom Hanks, great in it, because Tom Hanks in 1995 just like couldn't miss.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it would be in like my top 10 most important Tom Hanks movies. And
I'm
if
gonna
it
say,
is, it's near the bottom.
I'm going to say an argument. I think you should just take it and pick A Few Good Men. Apollo 13 is unfortunately sandwiched between two monumental points in his life.
Yeah.
In Forrest Gump, a year before, and Toy Story, 3 months later.
Yeah, that is...
Or 5 months later. Those are... Boom, boom. Benchmarks, footnotes, bookmarks, pinpoint chapters in his film career. I think that Apollo 13 gets lost in there. And so I think that if you're talking about early Cruise, this is bigger. And Sorkin and all this stuff. Sorkin's first screenplay.
Yeah, oh, the Sorkin bit too.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah, I go A Few Good Men here.
All right. Few Good Men moves on.
Well,
oh.
No, it doesn't.
God damn it.
Because you have Apollo 13 winning.
God,
so we're tied.
I concede. A Few Good Men moves on. The sixth seed, okay. Unforgiven. No, I'm kidding. We can't do that, even though I want to go see the 8:30. All right. What won more handedly?
So it can't be quality. They split on that.
Yeah. Maybe Impact upon release being the number two movie of the year.
Yeah, I think for Apollo 13, Impact is
the bigger one.
The bigger one. And then for a few good men, like, is it Harder Road to Success?
Yeah, probably
is it Legacy?
No, it's not Legacy. We had a huge discussion about why it might be the only one. But I think Harder Road to Success is probably the bigger one for that. For Men.
But, like, it's still Tom Cruise in 1992?
Well, it's also just, like, a major drama. Like dramas could just do that in 1992. Yeah. You know, you look at, like, you know, As Good as It Gets and shit like that. You know, Jerry Maguire, this is just the stars of this movie. But, like, you know, dramas can, if it's a quality Oscar drama, it can sail to 140. It's just
right.
Star power.
Yeah, if you're, if in 1992 you say, I've got Tom Cruise, I've got him as the lead in this courtroom drama, this thrilling legal procedural that was a huge Broadway play. It's very exciting. It's coming out in December, and A Few Good Men didn't necessarily have a hard road to success.
No.
So
just
I think that
the other one was more.
I think Apollo 13 and its impact upon release is the winner here.
All right. So then that means that Apollo 13 moves on.
Yes, it does.
The 6 seed Unforgiven takes on the 2 seed The Santa Claus. Unforgiven was released August 7th, 1992. Opening weekend, $15 million. Final gross, $0101. The Santa Claus opened on November 11th, 1994. Opening weekend, $19 million. Final gross, $145. Unforgiven cost $14 million to make. It grossed $159 worldwide. Profit of 1,136%. Santa Claus had a budget of 22 and made 190 worldwide, profit of 864. 0.1 goes to Unforgiven. And quality of movie, we're both going to say Unforgiven.
Yes, we are.
And Harder Road to Success, I think pretty easily the Santa Claus.
Okay, being as Tim Allen was like
a TV actor at the time, it's also just an enormous amount of money for like a live action kids movie. I know the Home Alone is the outlier in these types of cases. We were not starved for live action kids entertainment back in the day. Home Alone's the outlier. Mrs. Doubtfire's Robin Williams. Like the kids movies that hit it big, that happened. I'm not saying it didn't happen, but like 145 is pretty fucking huge. Also considering that I'm pretty sure Toy Story came out. No, Toy Story came out 95, a year later. Okay, yeah. And I think that, like, the Best Picture winner grossing $101 million with Clint Eastwood and Gene Hackman. And
yeah.
Is a little more
like,
doable.
This is Clint Eastwood's statement on the Western.
Yeah.
I agree. That is correct. Santa Claus gets the point there.
Impact upon release. Unforgiven had the biggest August opening. 9 Oscar nominations, including Best Actor for Clinty Boy. 4 Oscars, including Picture. Director for Clint, supporting actor for
Gene Hackman.
That's correct. And The Santa Claus was the number 4 film in 1994. I know the Best Picture thing is big and the August opening is big. It feels like this is the Santa Claus, though, for impact upon release.
Because, like, for the same reason you were saying of just it becoming this
it
huge
grossed so much more
sensation, also kind of turning Tim Allen into, from like TV star into movie star.
Big transition for Tim. Number 4 film in 1994. Big hit, Christmas classic.
Yeah, and that is true. I don't want to discount the enormous award success of Unforgiven.
Sure,
but
4 Oscars and nothing to sneeze at.
But yeah, I think that feels right. That the creating Tim Allen the movie star, which like mostly can just be, Tim Allen, the Santa Claus and Toy Story star, but I'll give it the point there as well.
And where are we?
We are 2-2 going into Legacy. And
it really, I don't want to say it feels like the Santa Claus again.
Okay.
But it does.
Okay.
And I think the reason why I'm kind of keying off of Clint here, because I know that that's kind of the point you're going here, is Million Dollar Baby.
Uh-huh.
And then Gran Torino. And I just feel like every decade he has a big splash. And, like, he wins the Best Director and Best Picture Oscar again for Million Dollar Baby.
Sure.
In 12 years. So, like, if this was his, like, his Oscar play, I'd be like, yeah, for sure, it's Clint. He got his Oscar for this. It's, like, the big thing. But he had the same thing again. Santa Claus is, like, Tim Allen's film legacy. Like, Buzz Lightyear is a great thing. It's a two-hander, though. This is, like, his own thing, and it's still going on today.
Yeah. I feel differently on a couple of points. I think two-hander aside, to me, Buzz Lightyear is definitively a bigger part of Tim Allen, the movie star's
also,
legacy.
It's a recastable role. Sorry. Chris Evans did it.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Doesn't only belong to you, Tim.
And I think if you're talking about just like the legacy of Clint Eastwood, the director.
Yeah.
It is true that this is not necessarily like his only big major endeavor. I think it has lived on better. I feel like Million Dollar Baby does not have the same kind of reputation as Unforgiven does. But I also think just as like part of the legacy of Clint Eastwood, the actor, I think it's a huge deal. I still come back to like Clint Eastwood is like a top three definitive Western star. Like it's John Wayne at the top as like the cowboy, the Western guy. And like I feel like Clint Eastwood's probably number two. I'm saying top three in case there's another big one I'm forgetting. And Unforgiven being not only like a big retrospective of like what it meant for Clint Eastwood to be the man with no name and to be the outlaw Josie Wales and so on, etc., but to come from Clint himself and be him reflecting on that legacy and that like huge contribution to the history of film that he provided, I think to me is just it's just like a huge deal. And I feel like Clint Eastwood as a part of movie history, as like the legacy of cinema, is a more long-standing and like will have a longer lasting impact than Tim Allen.
Okay.
And so if we were to talk about like in 50 years some of the great stars in cinema history, I think people will still be talking about Clint Eastwood, and they'll stop talking about Tim Allen first.
Jesus. All right.
I'm die sick, his second death.
I'm sticking with the Santa Claus.
Okay. Well, that I am voting for Unforgiven there, and that gives us yet another tie this evening. We are feeling differently about these films. So we split on quality. No, we didn't
split on quality.
No, you voted on Forgiven quality.
I did.
We agreed on Harder Road to Success, which is a pretty good case for Santa Claus. Impact upon release.
It's pretty close.
Like we want Santa Claus.
In all of them, it's pretty close. Impact is close.
Do you feel that quality is close?
No, not necessarily.
Okay. So you're generally like not as into Unforgiven as I am. Is that that's fair to say? Like it's not. It doesn't quite rate for you as.
No, I gave it 3.5 out of 4.
Okay. to my mind, the like I like Santa Claus a lot. It's a it's a lot of fun to watch, and revisiting it for season screenings was confirmation to me. Like, oh yeah, this is just like a really fun Christmas movie that I I have a good time at. The quality gap here to me is pretty substantial.
But we have to agree on this.
We do.
So we're not going to agree on quality.
Okay.
So what else can we try to agree on here? Maybe. No, that's fine. I'll give it to you. It's a better movie.
I think the other one is, would just be Harder Road to Success, I feel like, is Santa Claus's definitive win here.
Right. That's fine. We can give it to Unforgiven. So, okay. In 2 weeks, the one seed, Apollo 13 takes on the six seed, Unforgiven. And next week we'll have the second half of the Sweet 16 Candles.
Yeah, eight more matchups for Multiplex Madness. I'll just do the whole thing. Pronounce with an IP because I can't. It's hard to indicate when you're talking about that specific one. That's, I realized, true, as I was saying it. And also Multiplex Madness Forever. Multiplex Madness.
And what, 2000. What are the matchups?
The matchups for that one I don't have in front of me. Let's see. We are going to be getting. All right, that's going to be, I believe, the Simpsons movie against What Women Want.
Okay.
And
they should be on the thing. Hold on, I already made them.
You did. I just don't have those documents open.
I got it.
We
had, coming up next week, the Simpsons movie against What Women Want and Knocked Up against Chicago. And then in the Multiplex Madness pronounced with an IP, we had The Exorcist taking on Split, and the Lego movie takes on Thor Ragnarok. And that will be next week. Let's get to some box office.
All right. So, this weekend saw the release of a couple movies, Monkey Man and The First Omen. And in honor of The First Omen, I have ranked my top five Ralph Ineson movies. Ralph Ineson.
Is he in The First Omen?
Yes, he is. Gotcha. Very quickly becoming a mainstay of movies where I am fully on my... How best to describe it, I don't know. But, like, in my zone, you know, when I'm seeing, for instance, the number five movie on this list, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, which gets the number five spot because he appears in...
Yeah, which segment is he in?
The James Franco segment, I believe, is the one, which is the least strong.
But it's got the best line.
It does. And it's a great line. And it's like it's a good segment. I really want to get to give this movie another shot pretty soon and see if it goes from like, oh, a cool collection of stuff to something that like I really dig. But yeah, he plays like a posse leader in that when they're rounded up, Franco. He's got one of those faces that I feel like I've been watching in movies for, I don't know, 30 years.
I'm
but
sure.
Like, actually, like, he hasn't started getting roles that aren't, like, the Night Watchman or Man on Bus or whatever until, like, 2015.
Right.
Which just, like, feels weird to me. Later breakout. Number four is The Northman, the first of two Robert Eggers movies.
Sure.
That appear on this list. A movie that I think got a little short appraisal when it came out, but
The Northman did?
Yeah.
I think people really
like
The Northman.
I feel like people were waiting for The Northman to be like a capital M masterpiece. And came out, and it was like, oh, man, this movie's really good, but, like, it's not, like, a masterpiece, which, like, who gives a shit? I think The Northman was awesome. Skarsgård was great. The visuals throughout were incredible. Just a ton of fun. Love The Northman. Love Ralph Ineson appearing in it. Number three, The Tragedy of Macbeth. Which I think at this point we kind of are illustrating.
Love The Tragedy of Macbeth.
The thing I mean when I say I'm kind of on my bullshit when Ralph Ineson shows up in a movie. Tragedy of Macbeth, really great. Joel Cohen sort of solo take on Shakespeare. I've been watching clips here and there as they come across my Twitter feed of Denzel in The Tragedy of Macbeth.
Yeah,
just doing lines, saying Shakespeare shit.
Yeah, no, he's out of his mind. And he's so good.
In fucking credible. Really great movie that I also think because it's like not a Coen Brothers masterpiece, kind of got the short end of people's consideration.
Sure.
Number two, The Green Knight, where he voices the Green Knight. This movie really fucking knocked me over when I saw it. Every segment of it is incredible. The stuff with the Green Knight and Gawain going back and forth is tremendous. It's a beautiful movie. It is a lot of fun. It's scary at times. It's incredibly well acted. I love The Green Knight. And my number one will be no surprise to anyone except that listener who is here for the first time. It is The Witch. He plays the father in The Witch. He does a tremendous job. One of the great horror movies of its decade. One of my favorite horror movies of all time. And like just a great performance and a great movie. Not a lot of director variety on that list. Three directors.
That's interesting.
Two Coens, like one Coen brothers, one Joel Cohen.
Right, three and a half directors.
Two Robert Eggers and a David Lowery. On to our actual top five. Godzilla Kong, The New Empire, came in at number one, followed by Monkey Man, Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire, The First Omen, and Kung Fu Panda 4. But Godzilla Kong, The New Empire, did reign at the top for a second week. It made $31.2 million, a 61% drop that is up to $134.5 million.
Yeah, that sounds about right. It's probably not going to get to where the 2014 Godzilla film got, which is just over 200. But hopefully it stabilizes after this weekend. It still has a shot at becoming the biggest movie worldwide of the MonsterVerse. Which I believe is like five something for Kong Skull Island.
Okay.
But yeah, it just shows that like the audience is limited. The audience was there. They wanted to go out opening weekend, but there is like a ceiling to these films, which is fine. You know, it's already beaten what Godzilla versus Kong made in, you know, post pandemic March 2021, but that opening weekend is going to carry it. And, it's just not going to get over, probably not going to get over two or just barely.
Yeah. And that's fine. This is like, to me, this seems like a big drop, but not an alarmingly big drop.
Yeah. For like a not buzzy sequel blockbuster. Like this makes sense in the last like 10 years of the marketplace.
It was a fun weekend that had its moment, but wasn't like the breakout Godzilla and Kong are the new Marvel thing or whatever. But yeah, still is going to go on to be a big hit, which is very cool. Monkey Man opened in the second spot with $10.1 million.
Yeah, it's an okay opening that just further proves that online hype doesn't equal ticket sales. You know, people online go crazy for the trailer and then it opens to 10. Universal bought the film for 10 from Netflix, so they'll come out fine. Plus, it helps the relationship with Jordan Peele. He's the one that brought it to them and said, this is really good. I think it should get theatrical distribution. And they said, yes, of course, Mr. Peele. Whatever you'd like, Mr. Peele.
Yeah.
And it's a wonderful thing for an original film by an exciting filmmaker who's not just a, you know, boring white guy who was given such a push.
Yeah.
So
I haven't caught this yet. I hear there are.
And we never will.
Well, that's a depressing thing to say. I hear there are parts of it that are like really, really shining and like really promising for Dev Patel as a filmmaker,
uh-huh.
and not just like not just an action star. Though I hear that works out pretty well as well. And I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a lot of fun.
It has a it's got a good tomato rating, right? It's got 88% on tomatoes.
Yeah. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire was the third movie this weekend. It made $9 million. It was a 42.2% drop and is up to 88.8.
Well, it's going to get over 100, so good job. But that's really all I have to say about this one. The last one made its money over holiday. This is a family film. Should have thought about it. Held it till Christmas again. I don't know.
Sure. Or Memorial Day or something. That's coming up soon.
Something. But whatever. It's not a viable IP. Sorry.
Fine. With me. The First Omen came out in fourth place.
Talk about not viable IPs.
$1 million.
Yeah, no. I don't think that Immaculate making $14 million the last 3 weeks stopped this from crossing 15 this weekend. Nor do I think there's been too many horror movies in general, some people have tried to posit.
Okay.
IP just simply doesn't equal interest.
I feel like I just also just haven't like seen a ton of...
Well, what's my next line?
The marketing was just so-so, okay. is on the lineup there.
That what you're about to say.
Yeah.
A lot of promo for
it. I've seen promo for... Immaculate. I saw a promo for Monkey Man out the wazoo.
Yeah.
First Omen for me was very much like, oh, that's coming out this weekend.
That's
okay.
Supposed to be good. Whoa.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Like, I think that could have been marketed to people considerably more.
Yeah, I agree. And so yeah, I just think that it's you know, it got good reviews. It's going to do well on Hulu life, and it'll be just fine. It's just a shame that I feel like if we'd gotten either a push or a star, I don't know. It wasn't going to be much. The Omen, I don't think people even know that it's a prequel. I bet if we polled people, that a majority of them wouldn't even know it's a prequel to a movie called The Omen. It just sounds like a title.
Sure.
The First Omen just sounds like, oh yeah, it's The First Omen.
And hey, I'm actually getting a our second ever call in.
Yeah. Hold on. She'll probably say it. She'll probably go, yeah, it's to The Omen.
She's screening her calls now.
She might be.
Hi.
Yeah, hi. You're still on the podcast. Listen.
Okay, and I'm still on the phone. So what?
You're still on the phone.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Have you seen promos for the movie called The First Omen?
No, I really don't like it.
It's a horror movie. If I were to tell you if it's called The First Omen, what immediately comes to mind? Do you have like a connect?
The Omen, Damien the Omen.
All right, fine.
The original.
All right, thank you. Bye bye. All right, so yeah, there you go.
There's one.
She knew the kid's name too. Who else can I call?
Damien Omen.
I
think we can take that as a sample size. We were wrong. Everyone knew about it. Just didn't want to see it.
Yeah, there you go.
In fifth place was Kung Fu Panda 4, which made $7.7 million. It was a 24.9% drop, and that's up to 165.9.
165?
Yes.
That's what the third film made around that and close to what the second film made. It's just a nice little hit, doing well.
Yeah,
nothing else to say.
Yeah, 5 weeks in.
What's the drop this weekend?
24.9.
yeah, that's probably what we're gonna see from here on out, because there's not as much stuff for children. And then what's the animated movie they said is coming out? Garfield.
Yeah,
middle of
May.
Garfield
will come out,
there you go.
And that's it for our top five.
All right, the only thing else I wanted to bring up was Bob Marley One Love crossed Rocket Man. this weekend, and it's the fifth biggest musical biopic domestically, depending on how you count 8 Mile, I think. And that's it.
All right. Well, then it is time to play everybody's favorite game. Did it make more or less than Monkey Man?
Oh, Monkey Man. Okay.
The game where each and every
week. This is going to be harder because it's a lower number.
It is a lower number.
Yeah.
And you will tell me whether three movies opened better or worse than this week's top opener.
Yeah.
Of course, for a bonus point, you can tell me the year each movie came out. Are you ready to play?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right. Your first movie is Escape Room.
More. That was made decent money.
Escape Room did open to more.
And I have to tell you how much more?
No, you have to tell me what year it came out.
Oh, he says it with that tone because he just said it, and he thinks that I have to listen to the thing that he repeats every time we do the podcast. Do you listen to when I do the intro? No, you don't listen to what I say. Say it. What's my spiel? You've heard it 267 times.
Hello and welcome to What's in the Box Office.
Already wrong. Hello, everyone. Not hello and welcome. All right.
We've done this before. I get it like 85% right-ish.
All right. Well, you've said that four times. I don't listen to it. So anyway, 2019 is when that came out.
Yes, that is correct.
Yeah.
Your second film is Legion.
Tell me
about Legion.
More.
Legion did open to more than Monkey Man. That's true.
When the fuck did Legion come out? 2000 and... Jesus Christ. 9?
It's very close, but it is 2010.
Okay.
So not a perfect score, but still doing very well as you go into your final film. Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates.
More.
That was a very quick more. It is true.
2000. Did we do that on one of our lists? 2000 and... I want to... 16.
16 is right. You have a much stronger memory of Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates than I was counting on.
Well,
so that is another 5-point
week.
You
should remember your history more than you do.
I don't. Is Zac Efron in that movie?
Yeah, you don't know who's in that movie?
I don't know who the other one is.
It's Mike Adam or Dave. Levine. Adam Levine.
Oh yeah. Okay. Sure. All right.
This is how I remembered it.
Oh my God! We anticipated Mike and Dave Need Wedding Dates.
Not by much. It's got to be down toward the bottom here. Whoa. Nope. All right. Maybe we were giving it the benefit of the doubt. No, these are all still pretty shitty movies.
There's no... I mean, yeah, I guess we could have looked at
Patient
like
Zero.
Comedy,
really sure. Underappreciating The Shallows there. You want to explain to people what we're doing?
Yeah, we are reviewing back in our old podcast project. Oh, it's a podcast. We would look ahead to the upcoming year in movie and do our ranking of anticipated films.
The 46 most anticipated films of the summer of 2016. Go ahead and read the 26, Mike and David Reddick. Go ahead and read what we wrote.
The trailer leaves something to be desired, but watching Zac Efron continue to blossom into a comedic actor is fun, and Aubrey Plaza and Anna Kendrick seem to be playing a different type. There might not be much here beyond that, but you never know.
Do you want to guess what our top movies were?
In 2016.
Wow,
oh my God. X-Men Apocalypse was 11.
Number 14.
We're
not exactly chomping at the bit for this one. So wow, it starts.
Terrible.
Popstar's at 12.
Yeah.
Kubo's at 11.
Good call.
The BFG's at 10.
Not great.
Star Trek Beyond's at 9.
Good.
Secret Life of Pets.
Whatever, sure.
Is it 8? Suicide Squad's at 7.
Terrible.
Well, let's see what we said. We're willing to bet all the money in our pockets against all the money in your pockets that Suicide Squad won't be the 7th best movie of the summer.
We win! Give us your money.
DC kicked off their Marvel-like campaign disastrously with Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice. Zack Snyder set a horrible tone for the franchise. While David Ayer is definitely a better director, he's hardly a sure thing. I don't even know if that's true anymore. The film is reported to have undergone frantic reshoots to make it even a little funny. So why so high on the list? Simple. DC kicked off their Marvel-like campaign disastrously with Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice. Zack Snyder set a horrible tone for the franchise, and while David Ayer is definitely a better director, he's surely hardly a sure thing. The film is reported to have undergone frantic reshoots to make even a little to make it a little more funny. Suicide Squad is all but guaranteed to be either the savior of the DC cinematic universe or a horrendous creative failure. Either way, we can't wait. That's pretty funny.
We were right.
Ghostbusters at 6. Makes sense, the pedigree behind it.
Yeah, okay, yeah, and right. This was, 2016, so that's the fine Ghostbusters to be excited about.
Sausage Party's at 5.
Great call. Great movie.
Neighbors 2, Sorority Rising's
good
at 4.
Movie. Definitely a win.
The Nice Guys is at 3.
Tremendous insight.
Finding Dory's at 2. Against pedigree. Makes sense.
Yeah.
And do you remember what number 1 is? I remember.
No, I do not.
2016.
Ah, Civil War. Okay,
Captain
sure.
Captain America Civil War. There you go. All right. Anyway, what were we doing?
It is time for Come and Gone from a Theater Near You. Are you ready to go back in time, oddly enough, to 2016?
What is the date?
It is. So this is April 15th.
Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice. It already opened. It came out in late March.
Yes, that's true.
The Jungle Book.
It is the Jungle Book, yes.
Yeah.
Right on the money.
108?
103.
Okay.
So that
was just over 100.
Tremendous showing for the number one film. There is a number two movie that also opened this week, Against the Jungle Book. Definitely a definitely counter programming. Not blockers, but not game night either. But is a comedy for sure.
Okay, give me a clue.
Did
we see it?
I'm sure you've seen this. I haven't.
You haven't seen this. Why are you sure I have?
Because I'm pretty sure you've seen the rest of the franchise.
Whoa.
This is a legacy sequel. And
a legacy sequel to a comedy?
Yeah.
And you do you see the original?
No, I have not seen any of them.
What? How is there a comedy franchise that I've seen but I haven't shown you if there's a legacy sequel involved? That seems pretty apt for me to go, hey, check this out.
Yeah. I mean, I'm familiar with the original series, which, let's see, the first one came out in 2002.
Oh, Barbershop. The last you shouldn't have said that. Barbershop, oh, that's fine. What was the last one called? The Next Cut?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a good movie. You haven't seen any Barbershop movie?
No, I haven't.
I don't even know if you'll like them, but, like, they're important, you know? Chicago.
I also don't know if I'll like them.
Important to my child. Maybe the first one's good.
Maybe it is. I'm not saying it's not.
The first one's good. The third one's good. The second one's fine.
Put it on your fucking list. Is Beauty Shop one of those, or is that, like, its
own
thing?
No, that was a spinoff. That's okay. Not good. We're not... Beauty Shop, you don't have to worry about.
Got it.
Barbershop The Next Cut opened. It was much better than I thought it would be. Opened to surprisingly decent 21 million.
It is 20.2.
Nice.
So your recollection of week 16 of 2016, just impeccable. Well done.
I said I saw Barbershop The Next Cut by myself.
I also saw the limited release of Green Room. In three theaters and Sing Street in five theaters.
Green Room rips.
Green Room does. So does Sing Street.
Sing Street is incredible.
What a fun time people in New York and LA had that weekend.
Is that it?
That's it.
Recommend a movie.
All right. I had a good time at Godzilla Kong, The New Empire. The stuff with the monsters is fun. And then the stuff with the people happens in between the stuff with the monsters. But then the monsters come back. And they suplex each other.
Come back. They always come back.
And they get mecha gauntlets.
I don't have anything to recommend for people. I already did Godzilla and Kong.
You did?
And Oh, go see Love Lies Bleeding.
There yeah, that is still around.
That's a recommendation.
Yeah.
All right, Noah, plug us up.
All right, you can find us at whatsintheboxoffice.com. We are on Twitter at @WitBoxOffice. That is also our Instagram handle. I'm on Twitter at Noah Druke.
I'm at Brian DeSerber, DASURBER. It's also my Letterboxd handle. Come hang out.
Of course, the feed for our podcast can be found anywhere podcasts are found. We are on Spotify. We are on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah.
We are on Podcast Addict, where I have returned after years
Incredible.
Away. We are not on Google Podcasts, as that is no longer accessible.
Sad face.
But Podcast Addict
is back.
Is making a comeback.
He's excited.
Come hang out.
All right. Next week, Civil War. A24's $50 million venture into A24-level blockbuster filmmaking. Will it inspire violence, Noah? Is it the wrong time to be sending this message out?
Well, yeah, but it's going to be dope.
We'll see.
No, it will not inspire violence.
That is next week. This has been Plus More Multiplex Madness. This has been What's in the Box Office. I've been your host, Brian.
And I've been your host, Noah.
We'll see you next week. And until then, go see a movie.